Have you ever had moments, in fact, I would think we all probably have had this kind of moment, when something begins to just kind of whisper inside of you, maybe gnaw at you a little bit, or just nudge you to let you know that something is not quite right. You ever have one of those kind of moments? You know, maybe it was situational. Sometimes it's a missing ingredient, like the time when I forgot to put sugar in my pumpkin pie and my mother-in-law let me know about it. That's another story. Sometimes it happens in relationships, or sometimes it's with a particular project, or maybe it's just the way the day is going. Something just isn't quite right. You know? I think that, you know, maybe we could even say that for this moment in our world right now, right? Something is not quite right in our world. I mean, there are way too many shootings. Anybody agree with that? You know, there's just too much unrest in our world. There's something that's not the way that God intended us to live. It's just not quite right. Something has gone wrong. Kids are not supposed to go to school anxious and worried, right? We're not supposed to feel these levels of anxiety and loneliness. We're just not. It's not supposed to feel unstable. It's not supposed to feel like the foundations of everything that we've always believed are somehow shifting or just not quite happening. And we should be able to trust, right? Somehow the pursuit of the American dream has made many of us wealthier, or at least able to get the things that we want to get in life, but it has come at a cost. That somewhere along the line, things are more fractured, things are more separated, that communities and families and mental health are all kind of in a disarray, if you will. It's hard to say when it started or how it all started, and I really don't even want to go down that road of blaming someone for something. It just is. Can we just say that? You know, and now some of you are also kind of going, whoa, I didn't come here to get depressed. I didn't come here to have someone remind me of things that are not good. You know, I kind of came to get a little bit feeling better. I came to kind of feel like, you know, it's going to be okay. I was looking for some hope today, right? Good news. There is hope. You know, there is hope. And we find it in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find it in the good news of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to share with those who would follow after him. That the good news would be this, that God is with us. Even more than that, God is for us. That God is in love with us and claims us as his own and wants to be with us forever. And that he sent his son to do just that, to show us the way back to him, to show us the way to know him more fully, to show us the way to love him and to love each other. That's the good news, that we are to be connected with God, we are to be connected with our neighbor, and we are to live a life in the fullness of all that Jesus offers to us. That we are to stop standing on the sidelines of life and dive in to the grace and love of God. Man, isn't that a good picture? To dive into the grace and love of God. To be joining God in this exciting adventure of the kingdom. Demonstrating the love of Christ to all of God's people. And calling them to a cross-centered life of loving God and loving neighbor. This kind of love will transform the world. Amen? This kind of love will transform and bring the kingdom of God. This kind of love will transform even us. Right? So I wanted to invite us to this life this morning, and I want to do that by lifting up one of the disciples. Now, I know there are 12, but I just want to focus on one of them today, and I want to focus on one that really you don't hear about much. And in fact, not only do you not hear about him much, he didn't write any books in the Bible. He didn't plant any churches that we're aware of. He didn't make a big splash somewhere. He doesn't have a bunch of letters floating around out there. We really only hear about him maybe four, maybe five times in the whole scripture, but he's important nonetheless. And he has something that is vital to us as we come to seek Jesus today, and as we come to connect others to Jesus today, that he has something to offer us. Because I am convinced that if we can connect people to Jesus, our world will change. I am convinced of this. I am convinced that if you and I are connected to Jesus, our worlds will change. I am convinced of this, that if we connect people to Jesus, there won't be anxiousness because he brings peace. There won't be depression because he reminds us of who we are, right? There won't be this violence. There won't be greed because he teaches us to share things with each other, agreed? There won't be these things that separate us like racism and even politics, because Jesus actually transcended all of those things. Agreed? And he will teach us what it means to really be successful in the world, which is to do what God has created us to be and to do, to bring others to know him. So today we're going to talk about this disciple, and we're going to call it the Andrew effect. All right? The Andrew effect. Before Jesus began his public ministry, there was this guy by the name of John. We know him as John the Baptist. You ever heard of him? All right? And John the Baptist was that guy that was out there eating locusts and wild honey and dressed in camel's hair, kind of a wild dude, and out there in the middle of the wilderness and baptizing people and preparing them for the one that was to come. He kept telling them, I'm not the real deal. I'm not the show. I just want you to get ready because I want you to meet the Messiah. I want you to meet and to know the one who's going to change everything. And so while John's out there doing all this, he is collecting a group of people, followers himself. He's got some folks who are disciples of John that are helping him to start now to do this kind of process. But he's not the thing. Just remember that, right? So even though those of you who really love me and want to follow me, I'm not the thing. And my wife will tell you that. Okay, I am not the thing. Okay? But John's out there, and so folks are watching what he does and listening to what he says, and they're beginning to understand that something is not quite right in their life. And so they're looking for the more. Here's what we see. The next day, John was back at his post with two disciples who were watching. There's always somebody watching you. You do know that, right? And he looked up and he saw Jesus walking nearby, and he said, here he is, God's Passover lamb. The two disciples heard him, and they went after Jesus. Jesus looked over his shoulder and said to them, what are you after? Another way of saying that is, what do you want? You might have said that to your kid once or twice. And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he replied, come along and see for yourself. And they came and they saw where he was living and ended up staying with him for the day. It was late afternoon when all of this happened. I mean, there is so much packed into this little scripture part that I really probably should have just had one or two sermons on that. But I'm just going to hit some highlights here for you, all right? And I just want to point out this. John pointed to who? Jesus. Immediately he takes the focus off himself. They're watching him, but he says, no, no, don't watch me. Look at him. Look at this guy, Jesus. And that leads Andrew and the other disciple of John going after Jesus. They wanted more, and so they went after it. Now, you and I, when we want more at a buffet bar, what do? We go up and we get it, right? When you want more of Jesus in your life, go after it. You want more of God in your life? Go after it. You want to have a deeper prayer life? Go after it. Do you hear me yet? Go after it. And that leads Jesus to ask, what are you looking after? What are you looking for? What are you going for? What is it that you really want today? I'm kind of asking you, what do you really want today? You want your family to be great today? Can't be great without Jesus. You want success in your life today? Is Jesus a part of your definition of success in life? Better be, huh? You want more peace today? Jesus is a part of that answer too, isn't he? Whatever you really want today, you want to be free today, you want to be new today, you want to be forgiven today, you want to start over today, guess who's a part of all those answers? Jesus is a part of those answers. What are you looking for? Now, they don't really say it very well. They don't say, well, we're looking for the one. No, they say, where are you staying? What's that got to do with anything? Right? Where are you staying? Because they know that they've already found what they're looking for. And they just want to be where he is. That somehow just being where he is going to be enough for them. So where are you staying? And Jesus says, well, come on and see. Come on and see. And that gives us our first move in the Andrew effect. If you're going to be in the Andrew effect, you have to be connecting to Jesus personally. Do you hear it? You have to be connecting to Jesus personally. If you want to connect others to Jesus, if you want to change our world, you have to first connect with Jesus personally. You have to do that before anything else. That has to be your goal. Where he stays, you want to stay. Where he goes, you want to go. You have to respond to that invitation of come and see. I mean, that's really the first way that we connect others to Jesus, is it not? We allow them to see Jesus in our own lives, in our own example, in our own words, in our own actions. You know, we want to be like John. We want to be pointing others to Jesus. Everybody agree with that? We always want to be doing that. And notice, Jesus doesn't unload the whole gospel on them all at once. He just says what? Come and see. Come and see this thing that I'm doing. Come and see this new way of life that I'm living. I don't want you to do it alone. I don't want you to be by yourself. Come and see. Isn't that really what we want to do with our own life? Just come and see the difference that Jesus has made in me. I'm not perfect yet. I don't understand it all yet. Just come and see. Now, the dilemma with that is, if you want them to see Jesus in your life, you better be living like Jesus in your life. Amen? But it will come with a few little perks, or quirks, rather, and it will cause you to be uneasy at times. I remember the first time that really came true for me. I was in college, and there was a classmate of mine, and she invited me. She said, "Hey, I've got some questions. I think you can answer my questions. Can you come over tonight and visit with me about those?" I said, "Sure." So I went to her dorm room, walked in the door. She doesn't say hi. She doesn't say glad you came. She doesn't say, "Man, this is going to be a great time." You know, because I'm thinking we're going to do some stuff that we've been doing in class together. And she just says, "You know, I know you believe in that thing called the Bible. Tell me why I should." That was my greeting. And I just got to tell you, I was a little, at that moment, right? I mean, I hadn't studied the Bible. I hadn't gone to seminary. I didn't know it. I hadn't even read it all yet, for crying out loud. I mean, there was lots of things I didn't know. And here she is asking me why I think it's true. Now that's a moment, right? But apparently she had seen or heard or somehow had picked up in me that I believed in it. And so she created this moment for this to happen. No pressure. You know, it wasn't like her whole salvation depended upon this moment or anything. So I just began to say, well, here's what I know to be true in my own life for me. Here's how I see it getting proved in my life. Here's how I see it changes me and makes me into who I think God wants me to be. Here's what I think it teaches me about God. It's about 2 hours we were there that she was grilling me. You know, yeah, but you know those kind of questions, right? Now, God didn't convert her in that moment. And as far as I could tell, nothing really happened in her life in that moment. But she kept asking questions and she kept searching. And God used it as a good seed planting moment. Do you hear me? Of just coming and seeing. This is what Andrew did. In that kind of moment, Andrew goes to see and begins this personal relationship with Jesus, which enables him to make following Jesus a priority. Did you hear me yet? She made asking those questions a priority in her life. Jesus allows Andrew time to be with him before asking Andrew for a commitment. Now, there comes a moment when Andrew does make a commitment. There came a moment in her life when she did make a commitment. But Jesus allows us time to make him a priority. You know, and when we are trying to connect other people to Jesus, I just got news for you. You aren't going to do it. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. Amen? We're just going to get to be there for the ride. As we make it a priority to connect other people to Jesus, as we make it a priority to have Jesus first in our lives, God's Spirit will make the rest of it happen. Amen? He will change us. He will change those we share that good news with. We aren't the changers. In fact, the people in my life that I have tried to change, it did not go well, unless it was a dirty diaper, right? And that was its own mess. But I don't change people. How about you? You know, if you marry someone thinking you're going to change them, woo-hoo, that is not going to happen, right? If you become best friends with somebody thinking that you're going to make them into somebody else, nah. But you introduce him to Jesus, and Jesus will change him every single time. So here's what Andrew did as he made Jesus a priority. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John's witness and followed Jesus. And the first thing he did after finding where Jesus lived was find his own brother, Simon, telling him, "We found the Messiah," and he immediately led him to Jesus. And Jesus took one look up and said, "You're John's son, Simon. From now on, your name is Cephas, or Peter, which means rock." Now, I would submit to you, Andrew may not have done a lot in his life, but he did something that changed the whole trajectory of the church. Amen? He introduced Peter, his brother, to Jesus. He did the thing that was the most impactful of all. He brought someone who was important to him to meet Jesus. And Peter changed everything. I mean, he planted churches. He was the first one to preach after the resurrection. He extended the church from the Jews to the Gentiles. I mean, he wrote letters that became books in the Bible. All because Andrew said, "Come and meet somebody. Come and meet somebody who's changing me." So if you're going to follow in this Andrew effect, then you connect those that you know. We connect those that we know. We're going to connect people to Jesus. We begin by connecting the people that we know. It all begins with the relationship. Isn't that how it happens, right? One friend invites another friend to go and do something, and soon the two friends are doing it together. And isn't that exactly what happens whenever we are sharing Christ with others? D.A. Carson writes, "The most common and effective Christian testimony is the private witness of friend to friend." All right, how many people in here have at least one friend? All right, some of you I'm worried about. But if you got one friend, the best thing you can do today is to spend a moment with that friend and Jesus. Amen? Best thing you can do. Andrew understood this. He understood the treasure that it was in life to meet Jesus. And he understood that this singular moment changed his life. And he was so full of joy that he could stop at nothing from sharing that with somebody else. And why not it be his brother that he loved deeply? Andrew's ministry doesn't stop there, though. It's just the beginning. And here's what we learn next about the Andrew effect. This comes to us from the Gospel of John. After this, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. Some call it Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him, attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. And when he got to the other side, he climbed a hill, sat down, surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the Feast of Passover, kept annually by the Jews. And when Jesus looked out and saw that a large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread or to feed these people?" And he said this to stretch Philip's faith. Philip doesn't pass, by the way. He already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece. And so one of the disciples, it was who? Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." Now get what he's doing here. He's bringing somebody else to meet Jesus. Agreed? He's bringing somebody. He doesn't understand what Jesus is going to do about it. He doesn't understand how Jesus is going to use this moment yet. He doesn't understand how pivotal a moment this is in life yet. But Jesus does. And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place, and they sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish, and all ate as much as they wanted. All because Andrew brought someone to meet Jesus. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know why he was doing it. He didn't know how Jesus was going to possibly use this. I mean, have you ever been in a moment whenever you said, "Hey, what I got isn't enough to make that happen"? You ever been in that kind of moment? Bring it to Jesus. He does. Amen? Bring it to Jesus. He does. And that brings us to this next Jesus or Andrew effect, connecting those who need help. Andrew is connecting this little boy so that we can connect people who need help. He connects others to Jesus because he recognizes there is a need. Now, he doesn't know how Jesus is going to solve this yet, but he just knows if I just do this, maybe he can do something with it. And Andrew does this over and over in life. He just brings people into Jesus' presence who have a need, and Jesus meets the need every single time. You know, when we have compassion for each other and we bring one another into Jesus' presence, Jesus heals. Agreed? Jesus gives peace. Jesus gives worth. But Andrew isn't finished with just connecting those who need help. Later on in the Gospel of John, there were some Greeks in town who had come to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was at the, who was from Bethsaida. No, I didn't say that right, but you got it. In Galilee. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us? Now, Philip, he's going, So he goes and he told Andrew. And together, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And Jesus answered, time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now what he was really saying is, okay, up till now, I've only been dealing with the Jews, right? But now you've identified that there are more people who want to know me. Let's do it. Let's do it. And Andrew and Philip bring these folks into Jesus' presence. Because they said, sir, we would like to see Jesus. Have you ever just wanted to see Jesus? I have. You know, haven't there been moments in your life where you just said, oh, God, where are you? I need to see you now. Haven't you ever had moments like that? Haven't you ever had moments when you just said, I don't understand, but I know if you were here, I would. I want to see you now. I just want you to be present with me, and I want to be present with you. If only Jesus could show up, if only he were really here, if only God was real, if only. Isn't that what we ask? Now, I got to think that we're not the only people who ask that question. How about you? I got to think that there are people outside of these walls who want to believe in God, who want to believe in Jesus, who want to know that he's real. How about you? And they're asking those questions. And they're maybe even saying to you, can you bring me to Jesus? Can you show me Jesus? And that brings us to our fourth move of what Andrew does, is that he connects with people who are different. They are not different because they want to know. They're different because of who they are. These were no longer Jews. These were Gentiles, right? Now, maybe you haven't noticed, but everybody living in Harrisonville doesn't look like you. Have you noticed that? And maybe you haven't noticed, but everyone living in Harrisonville doesn't think like you do. And if you haven't noticed that, they'll remind you, right? Maybe you've noticed that people are different. But Andrew shows us that if we want to really connect people to Jesus, we have to be willing to connect people who are even different than we are. Amen? We have to connect all to Jesus. These seekers wanted to meet Jesus, They wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted to know what he knew. They wanted to not be alone as they faced the world anymore. Sound like something you want to? They wanted that same thing. They may have had some well-intentioned teachers along the way that said to them that you shouldn't expect to really experience Jesus personally. Just notice what I called them, well-intentioned. I think we should expect to know Jesus personally. How about you? I think we should be able to experience his grace and his love. I think we should be able to be in his presence. I think we should be able to say, oh God, please make Jesus real to me, and God will do it. Here's Jesus' promise to us. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Whoever. I'm kind of hoping that means me. How about you? But I'm kind of hoping and thinking that means everybody in my community too. How about you? Even the folks who are different than me. So follow me for this moment. Priority leads to clarity. Clarity leads to action. And action leads to connection. Andrew made following Jesus a priority. And as he made Jesus a priority in his life, it gave him a clear picture for what he was to do. And as he had a clear picture of what to do, it led him to act on those beliefs. And as he acted on those beliefs, he connected others to Jesus. But it all starts with making him a priority in your life. Jesus' promise was this: I will be with you. We might even say it out loud to ourselves this way: Jesus will be with me. Let's just say that phrase. Jesus will be with me. Jesus will be with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Gracious God, thank you for your presence with us in this day. Thank you for calling us to follow. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Help us in this day to sort through all the things that are in life and just to follow the nudging that you've placed within us today, the nudging to seek you, to know you, to follow you, and give us the clarity to do it. We do this in your Son's name. Amen and amen.